In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Backliners Podcast. We are back, Agro and Barra, joined for our first repeat guest in Polar Bear Mike.
Oh, my God. Another milestone for...
Well, you just keep racking them up at this point, huh? They're just getting too easy for you at this point.
Apparently.
Look, we wanted to have someone from Ghost on to talk about the weekend. I'm gonna keep it real with you guys. If you don't know, I've had COVID. I've been pretty sick. Have not been able to keep track of a lot of stuff. I barely remember watching playoffs at all. I need to actually go back and watch all of. I watched them all live. But I had a fever and was pretty delirious, so I gotta like go back and do all of it again, which sucks. But I figured that we could go through and just touch on each match real quick, talk about some takeaways, whatnot. And then before we go, we have a new hunter that was just teased in Danzaburo, and wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. Does that sound good to everybody? Is everyone okay with that? I want to, you know, I figure sometimes I like I grab the show by the reins a little too much. I want to make sure that everyone, like Mike, if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here, you know, like you don't have to be.
No, I prefer you to just kind of like take control and just lead me, you know?
All right. Ooh. Okay, I can do that. Well, then let's talk.
Good date.
Radiance PK. When we were talking about PK coming into this playoff weekend, we had Ro on right before this, right before playoffs went live. And Ro said that, I think he said this, maybe he said it or maybe it was then, I don't know, brain still off, but... Recently, someone told me on the record that they thought that you could tell how PK was going to play from game one that day, that they were either going to be super nuts all day long or they were going to be the easiest set win that you could ask for that day, and they're off their game. It seemed like it was a little bit more of the latter. They came out looking pretty flat, I thought, against Radiance. Not to take credit away from Radiance, but I don't know what you saw, Mike, but... that just did not look like a PK team that was going to come out guns a-blazing.
Yeah, so we actually, like, the week before the tournament, we scrimmed PK, I think, like, 3 or 4 days in a row. And I thought they were playing really well in scrims. Like, they seemed like they had a good idea of what they wanted to do, and I thought they were playing pretty, cleanly. But yeah, like their game one, they just looked pretty flat. Like they weren't really doing anything proactive. I think some of their players just kind of AFK'd. And yeah, I guess just I never really thought of that, but it kind of is true. Like off their, I don't remember them losing a game one in a set and then like really like looking flat in that game one and then pulling it back ever. So that just might be true.
Yeah, I think... I mean, obviously, everyone's going to talk about the Renegade set last year in the semifinals where they went down 2-0. But I think this year, as a general rule, PK either looks really good. They could still lose a game one, but if it's all the eye test. Like, I just feel like I can tell how quick a PK set is going to be based on how they play their first game.
It's just a different team, too, right? And they were pretty different, yeah. Like, regular season to, like, Worlds last year. They were always, like, a lower level in the regular season or, like, you know, just anything not Worlds in general.
Right, right. And they turned it up there, but was not the case. Was not the case this time around. Barra, did you see it the same way? I mean, that was obviously a set that you guys were going to have to pay attention to.
I thought that PK was going to play way better than they did. And because the weeks leading up to it, I thought that they were playing kind of, I wouldn't say like, peaking, but I feel like they were definitely going up a hill in terms of like skill and playing together well. And I feel like they just played way worse than they should have. And I think mainly a lot of their wins come from like CRD popping off and like hard carrying and laning phase and carrying that throughout the game. And I feel like that did not happen at all against Minji. And I think that kind of the reverse happened where Benji just kind of like popped off. And I feel like if Benji's popping off, Radiance just wins.
Yeah. Benji just sometimes does that to teams still in 2020. He's such a
bad player, dude. He sucks.
You think so? Name the three worst part of Benji's game, Mike. Go ahead.
He's always good. He's killing my back line and he's really mean to me. Those are the three worst parts of his game.
All right. Well, there you have it. Nothing you can do about that.
Perfect analysis.
Yeah, he just kind of does it too easy for Mike. Radiance, on the other hand, not only did Benji look really good, but I thought they looked a lot better. I think this set was a really good illustration of when I just think the way that PK, the game plan they came up with, I think was flawed, and that happens. That happens to good teams. It happens to bad teams. It's not an indicator of anything, I don't think. But it really puts you in a really awkward spot when you've been prepping for a best of five for a long period of time, and then you show up and your drafts just all feel crappy because they're not doing what you expect. How hard is it for you guys as players whenever that seems to be happening? Because I thought PK's picks and bans that set were pretty uninspired for me.
I didn't really understand a lot of the drafts that they were going for. And I feel like the execution of their drafts were wrong because they kept like drafting full dive, but they weren't diving as a cohesive unit. And when you draft like four divers and only three or two are like diving at the same time, you're never going to win a team fight because the other two people literally aren't doing anything or they're hitting frontline. And I feel like that kept happening where they just weren't getting a lot of value out of the picks that they were drafting. And I feel like it wasn't even like, I feel like they were like half decent drafts, like, on paper, but if you can't bring the draft into a playoff day at full potential, you have no chance of winning that day or winning that game, rather.
Is it the right idea to abandon your game plan and just try and fill with a, like, go with a new one on the fly, or do you have to stick to what you did and just hope that it starts to work? Mike, do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I actually I went to go pull up their drafts or whatever, because I didn't remember them really. And like PK, they went on like a hot streak towards the end of the split, right? I think they won like eight sets in a row or something crazy. They won like a ton. And they were kind of playing the same style where they're basically like some version of a full dive comp with either like Paul on like Morgan or Set, or they would have like Paul play Heim or Zap play Heim and the other one would play like a really aggro pick. So they were basically like solo backline. And I kind of think they maybe underestimated, like, I think Radiance just banned Heim. And then it seemed like PK wasn't that flexible around, like, they had like a core idea they wanted to do. But in those games, like, Zap just kind of looked useless to me. And I don't think he played bad at all. But I just think, like, he's just in a really rough spot. Like, if you try to play that style and you don't win the initial, like, engage, your ADC is just going to feel horrible, right? Because he's just playing 1v, however many people decide to, like, go kill him. So it's just rough for his Zap, I think, that set as well.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the Honor pick. Like, if you're going full dive, then, like, why are you picking Honor? Because I feel like Honor's, like, in the middle of the fight and kind of a backline fighter as well. I feel like he's not, like, I'd say, like, a Chernabog or whatever, like a Rama, like, someone that can help at any point of the fight. I just feel like you're just going to get dove regardless, and maybe that's what they wanted, was two people to go on Zap and they take like the 3v4 elsewhere or something.
Yeah, like that's kind of what I mean, right? Like, when you're Heim, you can kind of make that happen if you really want, or like maybe like Rama, you can buy time or something, but like Onher doesn't really do that at all. Like, you want people to fight with you, I feel like, and if they're not doing that, he's just gonna like be horrible, like as a god, not Zap, but yeah.
And that's usually PK's strategy, right? Like, they kind of let Zap be the bait and they let Paul hard carry fights for them. So maybe that's just they kind of got away from that identity with their god picks in this one, and that can explain why you come out looking a little flat. Of course,
they could have a bad matchup too, honestly, because they was it 3-0 or 3-1 versus 3-0. last tournament with Radiance, so
yeah
they met them twice and it didn't look that close, so unlucky.
Radiance seems to turn it up whenever it comes time for playoffs. At least that's been the case in both of our playoffs this year, so I think it's pretty safe to say. Then it's on to the other quarterfinal, which was Bera's Renegades up against Sanguine. As is usually the storyline for you guys, Bera, everyone goes, well, they could win, but... No way. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of the way it goes. I thought that this matchup was going to be a lot of fun because I think Sanguine's duo lane is one of their strong points. I think your duo lane is your biggest strong point as a team. And that... It was volatile. I think that was the word that you used in the pregame interview with yep. Dolson Olson, as you think his name.
Jesus. Okay.
Before
Did
this,
you wait until I was drinking to do that. What the hell, man?
Before this, we were talking about first names, and Barra thought that.
All
right, Dave Dolson Olson's first name. Someone said, "What about naming a child Dolson?" And Barra went. Is that his first name? It isn't,
by
the way.
It's not a bad name.
It's not a good name.
If I met someone on the street and they were like, my name's Dolson, I'd be like, cool name, bro. I like it. I would... Okay.
Well, all right, well, I look forward to little Dolson Salter running around one day.
Okay, that name bangs. That name bangs. It objectively bangs.
There you have it.
Now that football is back in full swing, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all your great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And 2020 has reshaped how we work. Businesses across the globe are trying to be more efficient than ever, so when every hire is critical, Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other site, helping you find quality candidates quickly. Indeed also gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, and you only pay for what you need. You can pause your account anytime, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. You can contact them the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visit Indeed each month, which is why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. And now, let's get back to the podcast.
So, you guys went into that matchup. How were you guys feeling? Pretty confident? You felt like you went in with a pretty good game plan?
Yeah, we kind of stuck with what we wanted to do. We experimented a bit with the picks going into playoffs a bit. And we kind of found what we wanted to do in the style of draft that we wanted to do. I think we lost game one with the Aries, and I think we won the next three after that. And it was a weird set, but I didn't think we were going to lose the set while I was playing it. Like, it was just kind of like one of those days where you just feel, regardless of what happens, like you're just going to come out on top at the end. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we were playing better than they were. And... yeah, I was just confident the whole time, like the entire set. I just felt like Vin was really confident in comms with everything he was saying. And like when you have a teammate that confident in their calls and what they want to do in their decision making, it just gives you so much confidence in your own plays and what you want to do. And so a lot of our team fights did have very cluttered, loud comms, but I think I spoke like three words in team fights because there's like three people talking at once, just yelling. So when those fights are happening, you just feel confident that you're not going to lose.
Yeah. I mean, Lazarus was popping off. Jake was doing what we expected and popping off. Mm-hmm. Though it continues to impress. I mean, people forget that this guy's a rookie, and every single game in that set was his biggest game he's ever played in, right? They mm-hmm. they continue to get yep. more and more important as the set goes on. So very, very impressed with Jake. Harry obviously played well. Ven played nuts, as you said. You were popping off. The Hachiman pick, dude. You were just slamming Hachiman game yep. after game. Rama open? No. Hachiman is the call. I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but I thought that was pretty noteworthy.
Yeah, I kind of played it 7 games in a row.
Yeah, you love that.
And it just fit with what we wanted to do in teamfights and what I wanted to do in lane. And I'm not going to say too much more because, you know, but I feel like the pick in those situations fit our identity as a team and how we wanted to play. And it was a kind of a weird pick. It's not like the most meta pick or whatever. And I got roasted. One, some Twitter smurf. This guy had like 3 tweets and he was like, "You have no god pool. You should just retire." And I was like,
"What?" That was me. Sorry about that.
I didn't think you'd see it. Yeah, I don't know.
I just had to vent a little bit.
Why would he say that, man? I'm not going in. Like, if I don't get Hachi, I will literally lose this game. Like, there's nothing I can play here.
Agreed.
Besides Hachi.
Dude, you should have quote retweeted it with that and just said, like with the video, quote retweet it with the video and just, like, be really sad and just be like, why would you say that to me, man? Like, that really hurt my feelings.
I'm literally just crying.
Maybe fleet about it? I don't know. Is that what the cool kids are doing these days? Have you fleeted yet, Bera? I know, Mike, you're a big fleeter. No. I watch yours, though.
I'm just going to fleet the gym so I don't spam my timeline. So that's all I do, but yeah.
What is that?
Okay. Bear is such a boomer, man.
It's like on mobile Twitter only, I think. I think your phone has to like update for it or something. I don't know what's going on, but it's just like, I guess like...
They're like Instagram stories,
whatever they're called.
Yeah, they're temporary stories that only last for a day. They aren't permanent. I don't understand why... Twitter's probably saying that like people are leaving to go check people's Instagram stories, so if they can keep them on Twitter longer, it's better for them. But it is not an innovation in any way, and it just looks ugly. I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah,
they'll make it better.
Yeah, they'll make it better, I guess.
It's just one of those things where everybody's like, what's the point of this? I don't like it, but then people are going to use it anyways, so I'm just getting ahead of the curve. I'm just going to use it, man. I'm just surrendering. I don't care.
That is true, but would you rather have fleets be added to Twitter or have any sort of video quality whatsoever on an insanely large social media platform like Twitter? Would you like a working video player on Twitter? Because that's what I would like.
That'd be weird, man. I don't know if I could handle that. Just I click a video and it just looks good? Man.
Dude, how is it still so bad? They make so much money. Like, what could they possibly be doing that isn't that?
Private jets, yachts, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, who made the call to be like, yo, go make fleets a thing? And someone's like, it's like that meme, like, I think that we should fix our Twitter video quality. And just the person being, like, thrown out the window. Like, listen to that. Okay, sorry. It literally tilts me how bad Twitter video is. Because I spend, like, 5 hours a day on Twitter. I have a serious addiction to it. And I just wish that the videos would work ever. Ever. Okay, anyways.
That's a lot of time on Twitter.
I'm addicted to it for sure. It's a very serious problem that I need to.
This is an intervention, actually. So
yeah.
We're not even at a party house for the intervention, Mike. What's the point?
All Garfield.
Oh, all Garfield, baby. You already know. That's a good point, Bear. You have to watch. I Think You Should Leave, because it's going to really take our podcast to the next level. It's on Netflix. It's a sketch show. It's the funniest thing.
It's like a 2-hour investment. It's like you could do it tonight.
Yeah, you could do it tonight. It's 6 15-minute episodes. This goes for everyone who's watching or listening. It is literally the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay, you can't keep... Okay, when you do this, they're going to watch it, and not every skit is for everyone. So he might have a couple skits in a row that he doesn't like, and then he's like, wow, this guy's an idiot. And then I'm going to be thinking, no, you're an idiot, Ryan, because you're screwing us on this. It's a good show. You might enjoy it. And go ahead and take a peek. See what you think.
You set it up really high, though. You're literally the funniest show
It was the funniest... Okay, Barry, you might not get all of it. That's the one thing I'm worried about. You know, you might not like... You might ADC brain your way through a couple of these episodes. Yeah, no fleeting involved. Don't worry. That there is one sketch about an Instagram caption, and that sketch bangs. Episode 1, by the way. I've literally watched the show at least 10 times. It has ruined my brain because it has affected the way I think and talk constantly. My wife hates it that I constantly just quote the show. It's amazing. Again, I Think You Should Leave on Netflix. Funniest show in existence. That's all there is to it. Anyways.
Watch it tonight.
Please DM me as you're watching it. I want minute
just
updates.
Live tweet it.
Just live tweet it. Yeah, that's a great idea.
That'd be good stuff.
Or we'll create a group chat for it. It's going to be great. Anyways, I wanted to say, Bear, before we move on from this set, I thought it was so funny how excited you must have been to actually have an Ares player on your team instead of Ares against you because of your notorious hate for that guy.
Dude, Jake owned so hard that game, man. He was popping off.
He was.
He wasn't even like the reason we lost. I just don't think we went back to the pick, right? I don't think he picked up the rest of the set. Like, his Ares is so good, but he himself thought it was bad. Because, like, my man would miss, like, one chain and then be like, oh, man, I can't play this anymore. I'm like, dog, everyone on this team misses so many abilities. Like, you can miss a chain. It'll be okay.
And not Jake, like, baby. No.
Like, he's, I don't know, his mechanics and the way he positions, like, he just makes those characters look so good. And same thing with Ymir. Like, his Ymir is, God, it is so easy to play with when, like, he literally just walls and gets two blinks, like, oh, that just, it literally just puts a smile on my face every time I see, like, one of those Ymir walls, like, oh. Sorry, he's
Barrett's feeling all warm and fuzzy inside right
now.
He's
so good, man.
Thinking about Jake's Ymir walls. All right, so then, Mike, you guys get the choice. You watched both these sets. You guys get the choice of who you want to play against on Saturday. Was it an easy decision for you guys, choosing the Renegades?
We were just never going to pick Radiant because for us, like, the only way the tournament could go bad for us, because we just wanted a bye into semis at Worlds, the only way it could go bad is if Radiance finished second and anybody but us was in the finals, because then, like, the team who won would get first seed and then Radiance would, like, overlap, or they would overtake us in points. So just, like, mathematically, we were never going to pick them, so it was just by default that we were going to pick, like, Renegades or Sanguine, whoever won that set.
A little unlucky for you, Bera, in that instance, but
we assumed it, honestly. Like, we went into it, I don't even think we prepped at all to, like, face SSG. Like, we were just 100% sure that we were going to face Ghost.
Mm. We talked beforehand about how you and Ro felt like, playstyle-wise, you don't have as much of a disadvantage against Ghost to get as much as a team like SSG might, which has been a big talking point for that matchup as of late. But obviously that the matchup on Saturday did not go as well for you guys as you had expected. What do you remember from that set?
I think if we played SSG, we would have won.
You guys were playing well coming in.
Yeah, I don't think SSG played well at all. Like, for whatever reason, they did not show up that day. And for game one, we knew what Ghost was going to pick into the Umoja, and we thought it would just go a little better. But unfortunately, it was like a 10k deficit at like 20 minutes, and then after that we were like, you know what, maybe we don't go to this again. And then game two, I don't even remember our drafts game two, but that was like the Oboe Steel game, which I'm pretty sure if we got that fire we would just win the game. And then game three was the Nox Hell, which was, we never really experienced that before. It was kind of a weird thing to play against, and it was, we kept trying to dive the hell kind of on cooldown, and it wasn't working. And our team comp did not kill frontline. So our only play was to all in the hell, and we kind of all in the hell like 40 times, and we did not kill him, I don't think. So game three was kind of a little rough one for the boys, I think.
So you're saying that Nox's kit is kind of busted?
Okay, the Nox one buff for allowing it to go through walls and hit minions is a massive buff and makes that god so good in support. And
has a OP kit.
Okay, the root going through the wall completely changes how you can play that character.
I have a story about that.
The tools are OP.
Okay.
This has been a long debate here, Mike.
She's not OP at all. Okay. Here's what happened.
Well, she is.
The patch went through, and all the patch notes said was that her one was going to do damage to minions. That's all it said. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we found out, like, I think on Monday or Tuesday before the tournament, that the one was going through walls. So we messaged Ajax and Kabam, and we're like, yo, is this intended? If it's not, she should be comp banned because it's not in the patch notes. And we were literally trying to get her comp banned. And then they're like, nah, we're cool with it. Like, let's just vibe with it, you know? Like, let's see what happens, you know? Yeah. We're chilling.
Wait, so, it wasn't intentional?
It was not intentional, but now they are cool with it and leaving.
Yeah. So they left it. They left it.
AJ tweeted about it.
Yeah, they left it, didn't comp ban it. So I'm like, okay, I've already warmed up everything else I want to play for this tournament. So a day against PK and Scrims, I just played it every game for fun, literally for fun. just to see like how it felt. I'm like, I guess I could play it. So like game three against you guys, we were just like up 2-0. So I'm like, yeah, I'll try it. Like, why not? It was like fine. I don't think it like hard carried or anything, but it was like fine. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of chill. It goes through walls. Like, that's sick, man. That's really fun. Yeah. It's just so lame, man. I hate that god so much. Any frontliner is always going to be that god. I hate her.
Yeah. Yeah, not fun to play against as a frontliner. But, Mike, you, I'm glad you decided to come on because this is also an intervention for you and for me, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You admitted to playing Nox in Arena in order to get ready for this.
Yo, my what? Mom's calling me. I got to head out.
Listen, Mama Heist will understand. I'll text her. It'll be fine. That is messed up, man. You know that's not okay.
Okay, so you see what had happened was I needed to warm up for our games. I'm like, well, I mean, I could just, you know, this is the god that I'm like shakiest on because I haven't played her that much. I guess I'll just play her and like I'm not going to queue ranked. So like, I guess I have to play Arena. That's just how it goes.
That's where you lose me, man. Why weren't you queuing up for Clash?
Okay, no one should queue for Clash.
Someone behind me? Or I don't know if you're talking to me. I'm not queuing Clash, bro.
All right, what about Siege?
I would have Siege, but it was like a 5-minute queue, and Arena was like a minute. So,
Did that's how it goes. Did you let everyone on the enemy team know so they could pick Geb and Chiron beforehand?
Well, I don't think that's possible. Also, I would like to add, I did play a Nox Siege game as well the night before. So, I...
Better.
You know... Yeah, it was my preferred option, okay. If that makes you feel any better.
It doesn't, because at the end of the day, you locked in Nox in Arena. And Mike, you and I together have really focused and spam taunted so many Nox Arena players, man.
Yeah, and I'll continue to do so.
But you're one of them.
I wouldn't say that.
But, okay. All right.
Listen, I'm doing it.
I rest my case.
I'm doing it to win a tournament. They're doing it because they're morally corrupt people who deserve to perish upon this game. And I wish they would uninstall. So I will continue to do what I do in Arena. It's a Nox players. That's all.
Wow.
Yep.
You just flexed your money like
and,
that.
And no, that's not what I was. That's
wow.
Not what
I was. That's this not what guy. Was.
Wow. All so right. Toxic.
I make that more was... than your dad.
10 times as much as you.
I don't think that would have helped.
That's also, and I think you should leave reference, another reason you have to watch it.
That's right. Another sure. Great sketch.
A banger sketch for sure.
We just love it. So that set obviously goes very well for you guys. I do want to touch on this SSG set. You said that you just think they played really poorly, Bera. Do you see it the same way, Mike? Do you think it was more SSG coming out not looking like themselves versus Radiance performing above what we expected?
We thought Radiance was going to win, but I thought that set was going to go 5 games either way. It's kind of what I was expecting. I thought they'd be a little bit closer. I think Radiance generally like has a pretty good matchup into them, just player-wise. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like there were just some really questionable plays by all of them. I don't know if they just weren't comfortable with like the drafts they were playing into, like if they weren't prepped for how Radiance was playing or what the deal was. I don't know like who they were scrimming before the tournament or anything. But... yeah, they just didn't look like the team they were in the regular split. I don't know why exactly. Maybe they just like got off to worse starts against Radiance than they normally do. I'm not really sure. But yeah, they definitely didn't play their best, I think.
Definitely not. I think that is fair to say. I don't think SSG came out and laid an egg. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't a total...
They weren't horrible.
They weren't horrible.
I think the first two games are horrible.
Yeah, I
think you're right.
I don't know. There was a fight in one of the games. I think Dardez was Morgan, and they had like a Gold Fury fight. And I think they like actually won it. Maybe they like 3-for-2'd or something. But I feel like normally SSG gets to that point of the game, and if they win a fight like that, they like kind of slowly like get control of the game, and then they're like feeling pretty comfortable. But it just didn't seem like that ever happened. Like they were always like reacting to what Radiance was doing. I never feel like they like were controlling the map. Even when I think they had moments they were ahead and it still didn't happen.
Yeah, they just never really got a chance to do the SSG 0-60 sort of map control that they're usually very good at. And that led us to...
Wait, real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
All the games that Radiance won, they had Discordia and Benji popped off. And the game they lost, they didn't have Discordia.
Disco OP?
And I think that Disco just enables that team to play through solo if they want to play through solo. And then in the finals, which we're getting to, they didn't do it.
They didn't do it. They decided not to. Maybe it was because of what you guys were picking, Mike, but you didn't. I don't think you no Discordias at all, right, in that set?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know why. I just don't know if I should say it.
I mean, but you guys both have buys, so you can. But yeah, I understand.
Well, it was just the way the drafts went. Like, if you look at the bands SSG did versus them, and the bands we did, and I think specifically just the way like a couple roles play are pretty different, right? Like the way I play compared to Raffer is very different. So like just the way the drafts go because of like a few minor things like that. I think Big Man just preferred like different gods. I mean, for the record, I think if he played Disco, I would have ran it down at him. So
Disco is vulnerable to that, to say the least.
Well, you guys played like anti-dive each game, right? Like, I just looked at it from your picks and the way you guys were team fighting, like late game.
You played Kepri game one, Nox game two, and Nox again game three.
Well, that's kind of what I mean, right? Like, the draft started to like. Like, the drafts kind of funneled themselves into a way where, like, both teams could kind of tell what they were going to do. But, like, for example, like, they picked Cupid first all three games, right? If any of those games they switched it up, we would have, like, also had, like, different responses, right? So, like, it just kind of depended the way the drafts were going to go. Yeah, I don't know. Like, we weren't, like, hard stuck into playing that way. And I'm sure they weren't hard stuck into, like, playing the way they played either, right? Like, I think it's like a comfort for them to do what they did versus SSG, but I don't. I'd be really surprised if they were like in scrims and they were like, "Yeah, this is like our like number one strat. We want to do this every game and like only go to Benji's lane." You know, like that's that team. Like Aurora Cyclone historically are very like Cyclone dominant teams. I feel like the amount of farm I'm sure you know as an ADC, like the amount of farm that man solos and just walked over to his lane with a little red buff Cupid running down the lane. They still play through him a good bit, so I don't think they wanted to like force themselves into that strat and like only do that against us.
I am surprised looking back over these drafts. Sunday in particular, I was really out of it, so I watched these games but remember very little. I do remember thinking that it was pretty insane that Fine OK got set three games in a row. Fine was obviously playing so well, but it wasn't going to be God exclusive. You can just tell that he was hot. But for my money, I just think Set is the best character in Smite right now. I think he just does so much. And I was surprised to see you guys get it three games in a row. Were you surprised, Mike, during those drafts?
Not really. Like, I think Benji actually played really well into him in the lane. I think game one, actually, Alec had a really like rough lane state. Not because I think I don't think he played it poorly. I just think like the way the matchup was, I think Guan had like pressure on him for a little bit. I think Kennet played at that side of the map pretty hard. So like, I think if I was Benji, I don't think I would have been that worried about it. It kind of just depends how their backline preferred to play. Like the last set of the regular season, we played each other and they ran like set ADC. And I'm sure both teams were saving stuff because it like didn't matter for seeding at that point. But
right.
Maybe they like used that as a test game and they didn't like, you know, the way a certain thing felt for their comp or how that game felt. You'd have to ask them, obviously, but it just seemed like they didn't want to first pick it. And I think it was just fine. Like, I don't think their comps were really that bad into it. Like, I think game one, for example, their relic decisions, I think, were really, really awful. I think that mattered way more than like the set, for example. Like, I think Alec played really well, but I think he could have done similar things on other gods as well.
Yeah, no beads for Kennet game one. He went Sunder Blink. No beads for anybody except for Big Man and Cyclone, which is fairly uncommon these days. I feel like
think it's like kind of, it's just troll they didn't get like a shell, and it's troll they have Benji get the Phantom, because I think you're doing two very conflicting things there. Like, when you're playing, this isn't even like secret information, so I don't really feel bad like going into it, but like you're playing a Kuzumbo. Obviously Kuzumbo wants to dive, right? Like, you're not trying to play backline peel Kuzumbo, so Aurora's gonna go like Thorns. He doesn't want to go Phantom. Aurora also doesn't want to dive alone. He wants either Kennet or Benji to help him. So if you want to play like triple dive with your support, you don't want those guys having to sit back with a Phantom. So in my opinion, either like either you have to not care about the Odin Cage or the backliners need to get like Phantom plus Shell and not get two Aegises. Because I don't know what they were really planning to Aegis. Like, there's not really a lot of damage on our comp that you like need to Aegis unless they get hit by a Kraken. And if you're getting hit by a Kraken, like backline v backline, you lost anyways. So,
yep. Yeah, I agree. Dude, upgraded Phantom is also like just good. It gives you pretty good stats for damage mitigation. So I don't even think it would have felt that bad to have to go the vast majority of the time. I think that does make some sense. Chad is taking some exception to me saying I think Set is the best character in Smite right now. I won't make you guys necessarily agree or disagree, but a couple people brought up Yemoja. Are you willing to say if you think Set or Yemoja is a better character? Because I think it's really not even that close.
I think their peaks are around the same and depends on the game that Yemoja is given, whether she can pop off or not. Sometimes the Fenrir Asunder and I think there are multiple ways to counter Set, and as PBM was saying, they just didn't do them. And yeah. I was watching these games back today and kind of really going into detail, and what PBM said about Benji getting Phantom is like spot on, because a lot of their team fights, Benji is like awkwardly in the middle of not diving all the way or trying to Phantom the backline. And like, if you have a Kuzumbo, you just have to dive together. You have to dive together. You have to kill the carries. And if you're not doing that, Kuzumbo is a bad pick, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And them having double Aegis, I didn't think about them getting a shell, but
isn't like, that like the normal thing for? I'm not a backliner, so I don't really know, right? But like, I feel like that's what I would see most people do, right? Like against the Set, like because you have so much to kill him, like
yeah,
like if he sits on you and he stacks his like all, you're just, or his like clones, you're just dead. Like it doesn't matter if you Aegis a little bit of it.
I think people were doing that a lot before, and I think against jungle Set they do it a lot. I don't know. I feel like I haven't played against like solo Set in so long.
Yeah, maybe it's different when he's tankier. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, Shell is definitely OP in a Set. But I was just saying that one of them needed a Phantom on Ra or Cupid, and that they needed their way to get out of the cage like that way. And because also, dude, they just didn't upgrade their relics. They didn't upgrade their thorns. And watching that back today, I was like, so confused as to why you're diving into a Pythag's Lifesteal Boots Poseidon, and then PCAT built double Lifesteal. He built Devo's and Aussie, and they just weren't upgrading their thorns into it. It just doesn't make sense.
I think Max was like 7-0 that game, wasn't he? He just did whatever he wanted, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was literally free casting the entire game, just like, because their dive is just uncoordinated. And when you have a Rama Kepri backline and you have an uncoordinated dive, like, there's nothing that is going to threaten him at all in team fights. Like, you also built Spear of the Magus.
you know I'm getting that. Of course I'm buying that.
And listen, man. Sometimes you just got to sprinkle a bit of damage in there. You know what I mean?
I was saying it was OP.
Gem Kepri is so annoying to play against, dude. If you get hit by Kepri 2 ever when he has Gem, it is so annoying.
Dude, I forgot about it until we played Renegades. I think it was our game 2. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what to buy. Like, they can't kill me or they're not going to kill me. I'm just kind of vibing. And I'm like, I could go East Staff. And I'm like, wait, hold on a second.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to slow them. This dude, is crazy.
It is broken. It actually is. And I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Third item.
It used to happen a lot in, well, last year as well, but Gem got nerfed, and then people stopped buying it as much. But on like Ares and Kepri, it was like super common to buy it as like a luxury support item for sure.
Yeah, man, Gem used to be so core on so many mages, and now it's just like dead. Unlucky.
It's still fine on like dot characters. It's just way worse on
yeah. When Poseidon's not building Gem, you know that item sucks. That's all I'm saying. You know, if Poseidon can't make it work, then for mages, at least, it is clearly not very
good. Yeah, yeah. To be fair, I think part of that's they also have a lot of OP items now, so.
Well, in some ways. I don't know if I'd go that far. Mike, obviously, I mean, you guys came in expecting to make it to the semifinals. You do that. You also secure the number one seed. How important, let's say you kind of get to the same spot. You're up against Radiant in the finals. You lose either a close set, you get blown out, whatever. Do you think that you're in a better spot by winning? It seems like a really dumb question, but I think that it is. I'm curious as to how important winning the set really was to you guys.
It's more like pride and money more than anything, I think. Like, when, to be honest, I just value Radiance like pretty highly in terms of like how good I think they are as a team. I think they play up really like well in tournaments. I think they've like shown that, obviously. Mm-hmm. I also just have a lot of like respect for Aurora as a player. So there's like a lot of reasons I think that team is pretty good. And once we knew we were on like opposite side of the bracket, like I like know the brackets now, but we weren't really thinking of it. Like, I mean, I would certainly never intentionally lose or anything like that, or like just, you know, troll pick. I would never ever do that. But like, I don't think it really mattered. Like, in my opinion, whenever you go to Worlds, like you have to play in a way where like, if you're winning the tournament, you have to be able to beat everyone. So I don't think it really matters a ton. I think for us, it was just like pride and money, like I said.
Well, you get both at the very least. You end up as the number one overall seed, which I'm sure will not be cursed this year. Like, no way it's cursed again.
Okay, everyone says that, but like, what does that even mean, man? Like, when we won in season 4, we were the highest seed we could have been. The EU happened to be seeded over NA, but like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, you go into Worlds, you have a 1-8 shot in winning. Like, there's a lot of good teams. Like, last year, like, any of the 8 teams could have had, except for maybe PK, because they had, like, that roster situation. But even then, they played pretty well versus Dig. Like, any team could win if they have a good tournament. It, like, you're just, you know, it's luck of the draw. Like, let's just throw some darts, you know? Oh. Who cares?
So it doesn't matter at all. Oh, all right, cool. Well, then this world is going to be real fast at the very least, which is good for my throat at the very least. All right, what do you know? We bring Mike on and we talk a whole bunch and we use a lot of time. We got to talk about the new hunter, Danzaburo, who was just revealed earlier on this week. Bear, have you got a chance to PTS him at all? Mike, I mean, I'm sure that it's a hunter, so who cares for you? I'm assuming you have not played him.
He looks really cool, but yeah, I haven't played him.
Fair enough.
I watched Steve play him, and I mean, Steve can play anything and make it look good. Oh, yeah. So I don't know. But in actuality, I think he's a pretty good hunter. I'll have to play him in like scrims or in a competitive environment, because you can literally play anything in ranked and have a good go get, or like PTS.
Yeah.
And I think his kit on paper is kind of cute. It's kind of cool. But I mean, his ult, I just feel like if you get ganked in a competitive setting, you're just dead.
Bro.
Can you not use it? Do you have to fire it at somebody?
No, so there's two different versions of the ult. You can either just shoot it at someone, or you can...
And it, like, auto-locks, right?
Right, it auto-locks. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. You can ride it, you become the rocket, and you don't have to hit anybody, no. It's freehand, you can kind of go wherever you want. But it takes a while to warm up, and the hitbox mm-hmm. is... really big, so
oh, so it's just like really easy to body block.
It
is
so, and it takes him so long to get on top of it. Like, I play tested a bunch this last week for season 8 and everything like that, which is really exciting. And I played against Danzaburo a whole lot, and I was playing Susano one game, and I just 3'd him. And then as soon as he got onto his, like, started channeling his ult, all I had to do was wait until he was starting to move, and then I'd press 3 again, and I'd insta-cancel it, because I'd eat the hit. I mean, I'd take a bunch of damage, and I get stunned, but, like, then the dude's just dead every time. Mm. I feel like it's a character... He might be better in mid, just because he is so... There is no hunter that is easier to gank. None. There isn't. He is just... Like, AMC, at least I have to be worried about him, like, killing me. I just don't think that Danzaburo has the same burst that AMC does. But my, like, if you get ahead on that character, there is no counterplay. Like, because he just hops on his rocket and he can go the whole lane, basically, and you take half of your health from the ult, and then he's melee range against you and you're dead. Like, that's all there is to it.
I love how goofy he is. I actually love him.
Yeah.
He is fun.
His designs are really good.
He is fun to play. I will say, he really clicked for me whenever I had, whenever I played him a couple times. I was hard feeding the first few times. Right. He's really like an area denial type of hunter. Like the little intoxicates and the little taunt, like they are so annoying if he's, say, like invading your purple and you're trying to walk in from lane. Like you just can't walk through that damage. And I think that's where he's really good. So I'm excited to see him. I don't know if he's available for Worlds, but
he isn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people have, like, some people have been asking or like lobbying for it. I don't know what the deal is.
You guys got a stance? You think he should be allowed at Worlds?
I've heard he wasn't, unless I was lied to.
I don't know. I haven't gotten like an email or anything about it. Like normally they would send it out, but I don't know. I'm like fine with it either way. I kind of think he shouldn't be because that's been like the precedent that's been set. Like, I kind of think making exceptions to like the competitive rules is maybe a little lame because like normally it's like a couple weeks after they're available on ranked or like whatever it is. And I think by that timeline, he wouldn't be available. And it's just like, regardless of like how good the character is, I think it's just like new characters come in and they could have like, it takes a while to test all the interactions and go through all the bugs, right?
Yeah.
Like you just never know. And for me, that's like the bigger part.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up Loki wasn't played at all. I thought there was going to be at least one Loki game this or in playoffs.
We didn't see any. I was surprised. We, us as a casting team, you know, we talked about it beforehand. I thought we'd see him for sure. It was a pretty quick weekend, though. It was a lot of 3-0s, a lot of, you know, a couple 3-1s here and there. I think maybe if we got into some game 5 scenarios, we could have seen.
I think there were literally only two extra games, right? It was you guys were Sanguine and Radiant versus SSG.
Yes.
I think. Yeah. So.
Dude. And the weekend still fell long.
Has there ever been a tournament like that? I don't know if there's ever been a tournament like that.
I don't know.
That's kind of crazy. Like mentals are weaker now or momentum means more now.
Like just look at the bottom right of your screen and look at the year it says on the calendar. Like mentals are shattered, bro. Like what do you mean? Like my mental is shattered. I'm not even doing anything today. I'm gone. Like I am out of here, man.
Just nothing you can do about that. Nothing.
I feel like if you lose the first game and like your game 2 is kind of shaky and you lose, the game 3 is just going to be a wash. Like it doesn't matter. And surprisingly, SSG like won their game 3 against Radiance, and that was shocking. And I thought they were gonna win the game 4 and like carry it on, but like the mental, like just too weak.
It's just hard, dude. it's really hard out there. I was gonna say, real tough. Best of 3 versus best of 5. After these last two playoff events, I've thought to myself, man, I am so glad we do best of 3 during regular season. I am so glad.
Really, you guys like it that much more?
Yes, dude. For my mental.
Bro, I would rather play one best of 5 every weekend than play 2 best of 3s any day of the week. I'd rather that all the time, man.
Yeah, but you didn't play two best of 3s.
Dude, the split was so bad, man. It was so bad. It was a triple round robin.
It was very
triple round robin. A best of 3s. Why, man? Why?
You okay?
I'm not okay, bro. I went back to our VODs, okay? I wanted to find something. It was like a highlight from like one of our first sets or something. We were just talking about random plays about the split. It was in July. July, man. It was July to November. What is that? Oh my god, dude. I'm gonna need to go to therapy for this. Like it's ridiculous.
I say to everybody, everyone should go to therapy. It's just good for you.
Oh my god.
Maybe this is the beginning of a good thing for
you. And it seems like you're making sure of it with this format.
Yeah. It's all your fault. Listen, I'm doing it, and that's all there is to it. I think it's so interesting, by the way, that League of Legends, obviously like the biggest MOBA esport. Their regular season games are one game. It's just...
Well, they've changed their format a lot, to be fair. Like, they have. What they've done.
Their current format is one game, is their regular season. Would you guys... I feel like I wouldn't like that. That's too much.
No, I'm pretty sure they did that for, like, broadcast reasons. Because they have like more teams or like more leagues, right? In general, like they have a lot.
They do, but they're all separate. They're all separate. I don't think that that's a main reason. Maybe it is, but
Well, no, I'm not saying in that way. I'm just saying like, if they want to do like double round robin, and they're like pretty constricted, I think, on their broadcast hours a little bit because they try not to overlap it a ton. Like the European League plays like, I think, 2 different days in the NA League or whatever. I don't know. Yes. I'm just saying it's just different. I think.
It is, but it's kind of similar. I don't know. Like, I just think it's crazy they do one game.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure the pros dislike the one game thing generally. Like, I'm pretty sure that's the consensus of a lot of them. Like, they do like their like behind the scenes videos and stuff. And like when they first did that change, I'm pretty sure a lot of them like hate it because it's also like, it's also really bad carryover or prep for a tournament, which I do think matters. Like, I think My only like big complaint with formats the past couple years, I thought it was so lame to play best of fives last year in the regular season and then to have a best of three in the first round of a tournament just made no sense. Like, yeah, I think like how it translates to tournaments, I think should be like pretty important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that makes sense. And having like worlds be all best of fives or playoffs be all best of fives makes a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
It makes it feel more special that it's not a best three anymore. And that's another reason why I like
this. I was happy with this year's format, except for the triple round robin.
Well, there you go. That's only one thing. Easy enough. You know, there was lots of things that you could have not liked, but only not liking one.
I got a Google Doc.
No, Mike, that's not necessary. Guys, for the random question, which soon to be sponsored TM, I don't know if that's true at all, but I just like putting pressure on the prediction esports guys and messing with them. Obviously, this week I had to get a ton of food. We got a ton of food ordered on, you know, the food ordering apps.
Right.
And it's really hard to get the right thing from something like Uber Eats. Because let's look at it this way. I love French fries.
Making up your mind of what you want?
Not only making up your mind, but then normally I'm like, man, I'm in the mood for French fries here. But look, French fries just don't travel well. You know what I mean? They just don't. They're going to be cold. They're going to be a little moist and soggy and that kind of stuff.
They're always mushy.
Right. They're always mushy. They're never crunchy. All that kind of stuff. So I wanted to see if you guys had some go-to, like, your mental's broken. You're not cooking. You're going to order something on an app. What are some of the go-to, like, cuisines or types of food that you think travel better than others when it comes to ordering food?
I'll go first.
Yeah,
go first. Mexican and burritos and just a loaded burrito. I've never had a bad burrito.
Really?
And also, yeah, ever. Like every time I've ever ordered a burrito, I have been 100% satisfied with it and so confident. Tacos sometimes get mushy for some reason, but burritos, I don't know why, always solid. And or I would say probably like General Tso's chicken, but that's kind of a toss-up because even if the place has like really good reviews, sometimes you'll still get sick and it's just not worth it.
Wait, but what do you mean sick? Like you're getting like food poisoning?
No, just like you eat it and you're like, I don't feel so good anymore. Like, I just want to lay down. And
Bear,
like,
how many times a week does that happen to you, man?
And okay, you're, dude. And you're sure you're not, like, allergic to anything.
Yeah, because that does not happen to me, bro. Does that happen to you, Mike?
Never eaten, like, Chinese and ever felt bad?
No, I have for sure, but I don't.
Maybe less than five times in my life? Like, less than five times in my life?
Wow. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, Bear. You have a problem, bro.
You're allergic to something, bro. Not like you can't breathe allergic, but like your stomach can't digest it properly. Like that exists, you know?
Maybe it's chicken.
Maybe.
Maybe it is.
Are you getting chicken in your burritos?
Sometimes.
All right, let's roll that one out. Let's keep going through
them. Well, rice next.
Oh, no.
No, this is like an on your own time thing.
Yeah, we don't have all day here, man.
That's too much.
We don't have all day here, right. Okay? Chad is saying maybe MSG. That is something that is very common in Asian dishes. I recently bought MSG so I could cook more authentic Asian dishes
all the time.
Right.
I say it happens like maybe 10%
of
the time.
Enough that you're bringing it up as a legitimate point against it is alarming to me.
That's what I'm saying, bro. How many times a week do you feel that way after a meal, Bera?
Zero during the week because I don't order it that much.
Okay.
All I'm saying is me and Destiny have got... Okay. You know what? Screw you guys. You know what? Someone else go.
No, I understand. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying there might be more to it. That's all.
Yeah.
You had your rant. I didn't make fun of you. Now you're making fun of me.
I'm right.
Okay.
All right, Mike. What's the play here?
Whenever I order, I kind of only order like chicken wings, really. And the rest of the stuff I try to make. But... I think I agree with Barry. I think like Mexican cuisine, I think travels really well.
Yeah.
Tacos may be the one exception, but like you could get like a burrito or a quesadilla or something. I think it always would be good. I think most like Asian takeouts, like Korean or like Japanese or Chinese food are all like pretty good. I really like Indian food, but I don't know. Like I don't know how well it always travels. Like, if it's close, like the restaurant is like physically close to you, I think it's good, because then like the curry would still be hot and stuff. But yeah, I'd say one of those three.
The best one that I've had, it has become something that I crave constantly. It's a food that I love eating at the restaurant, and that's ramen. I love ramen restaurants. There are a lot of good ones in our area. But ordering ramen for delivery banks.
Yeah.
Because they figured it out, man. They deconstruct your ramen for you.
Yeah, dude, the way they package it is actually next level. I don't think I've ever done it, but I've like seen
so much better, dude. It is OP, because then it's not, nothing is messed up. Like, you just heat up the broth in your microwave if it's not warm enough anymore, and then you pour it all in a bowl, and it's like you're eating it there. Ramen is the best thing that you can order from an app, and I'm standing by that, okay?
Okay, well, I had bad ramen the other day, and I know you guys are going to make fun of me and say, you know, it's just me, but I had bad ramen, no. So...
Are you doing okay, man? Do you want to talk about it?
I didn't get sick from it. It just didn't taste that great.
No, dude, I think you're kind of right, Barry. I kind of think... Okay. Okay.
Say that again?
Yeah, okay. He's never heard that before.
Okay, just the thing that makes like ordering food go bad is if it's either cold or like mushy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like fries, I think, like, are really bad. And like if you get like chicken wings, I'll order anyways, but like they're cold. They suck. Like,
right. They don't reheat that well.
Yeah, exactly. No. They don't reheat well. But like a burrito, when it's wrapped, it kind of like retains its heat, so it's chilling. Like foods like that. But like some like Asian foods or whatever, like if you were to get like, I don't know, like if you were to get like fried rice, for example, and it's cold, when you reheat it, the rice is just like overcooked, and then it's just like way worse. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's just tricky because of that.
Also, nachos, never get nachos.
Oh, my God. Who would terrible. Think that's
if you click
idea.
Nachos on the app, it should ask you, are you sure? And if you hit yes, it should come up with an IQ test. You should have, like, there should be like barriers to entry on that. Like,
yeah, because you have to be like, drunk, right? Like, you have to not sober to order nachos, and they should be like, look, bro, this is not gonna be what you think. Like,
yeah, agreed. If you're drunk, I'll accept it, but like, you're not gonna feel good about it.
No.
Yeah.
Why can't they make nachos the same way they make ramen? Why can't they deconstruct the nachos and send them to you that way?
I think it's the cheese, right?
Maybe.
Like, you have to have like a good melty cheese that transports.
Just ask them to just give you like a tub of queso and just put the rest together.
That's what I want anyways. Is just a tub of queso. I've eaten a lot of queso this week because we ordered a lot of Mexican. And
you're a queso main, I think, as well.
I love it, man. I just love it so much. Is there anything better than queso? Probably not.
I don't think I've ever had bad queso. Like,
probably the feeling of your parents being proud of you, I'd say.
No, I felt both, and queso's better.
I haven't been able to compare the two yet, so we'll see.
Hey, here's the other thing. I have had bad queso, and it was Chipotle's initial queso was awful. It was really bad. They've since changed it, and it got better.
Didn't they like rebrand their queso or something?
They did. Now it's like their queso blanco, like the white queso.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's good. Sometimes it depends like which location you go to as well. Like with chains like that, I've noticed like sometimes the same location will have really good queso and then sometimes it'll be horrible.
I want queso.
Guac as well is like really hit or miss, I think, depending on the place.
I don't like chewy guac.
Mm hmm.
Like, if it's got, like, big chunks of avocado, not a fan. I don't want to, like, chew through it. I just want it to, like, melt in my mouth.
I'm the opposite, but I respect that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's just, like, preference.
I'm not a guac fan, so I don't really... I didn't know that chewy queso was, like, a thing.
You just don't get it.
Yeah, I know. I just said that to you.
I'm agreeing with you, so why are you getting hostile over it?
All right, Mike, last question for you. This is a question I would much rather be the gold standard for a question we ask guests. How do you like your bacon cooked?
I like it crispy on the edges, and I like to have a little chew in the middle.
All right. I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. There should be no chew in your bacon. None.
It's crazy. I disagree. That's
no chew at all. Thanks for watching.
My mom likes it. I hate it, man.
Thanks for listening. Mama Heiss is so much smarter. How did she not imbue that
intelligence? She doesn't know what she's talking about.
No chew at all in bacon, and Mama Heist knows best. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. Make sure you give us a rating on the prediction page. Make sure you're checking out all their other great podcasts as well. And we'll see you next time here for the Backliners. Barry, you know what to do.
Bye. Sorry, my throat's giving up.